Grifflar's sword took off a corner of Tal's wing. Tal kept darting and flitting, dodging and swinging, and he clipped Rafar's shoulder and thigh. "The Lord has defeated you!" Tal shouted.
"Where is the Lord? I see him not."
Tal screamed in pain. His left hand hung useless. "Lord God," he cried, "his name is Rafar. Tell them!" The remnant were watching all the excitement and the police dashing in and out of the administration building when Edith Duster sank to her knees, pale and shaking. The saints gathered around. Should we call an aid car? "No, no. I know this feeling. The Lord's trying to speak to me. There's still an evil spirit out there doing great mischief. His name is Rafar. Tal could only back away from the fearsome onslaught of the demon prince, his one good hand holding his sword up for defense. Rafar kept swinging and slashing, the sparks flying from the blades as they met. Tal's arm sank lower with each blow. "The Lord has defeated you," he cried. Edith Duster was on her feet and ready to shout it to the heavens. "Rafar, you wicked prince of evil, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you!" Rafar's blade zinged over Tal's head. It missed. "We bind you!" shouted the remnant. The big yellow eyes winced. "We cast you out!" There was a puff of sulfur, and Rafar bent over. Tal leaped to his feet. "We rebuke you, Rafar!" Edith shouted again. Rafar screamed. Tal's blade had torn him open. The angelic sword sang with a new resonance. It cut through the air in fiery arcs, swinging, slashing, cutting, pushing Rafar back. Then, in one rage-empowered swing, the huge red sword sizzled through the air and Tal went tumbling backward like a tossed rag toy. He fell to the floor, stunned, his head spinning, his body drenched in fiery pain. He could not move. His strength was gone. Where was Rafar? Tal tried to turn his head. He strained to see his enemy. Through the vapor and darkness, he could see Rafar's battered frame swaying like a big tree in the wind. The demon did not charge. The sword hung limply, the tip resting on the floor. The breaths were coming in long, slow wheezes, the nostrils spewing out deep red clouds, the hate-filled eyes glowing like rubies. The words gargled through tar and froth.
"But for your praying sake."
The beast swayed forward, let out one last hissing sigh, and rumbled to the floor in a cloud of red. Tal lay quiet, unable to move. But somewhere, the saints were praying. He could feel it. He was healing. What was that? From somewhere, the sweet music found its way to him. It soothed him. Worship the name of Jesus. He lifted his head and explored the cold concrete room. Rafar, the loathsome prince of Babylon, was gone. The fight was over. And then his heart told him, "You've won. For the saints of God and for the Lamb, you've won." He struggled to his feet and waited for more strength. It came. He drew a deep breath, took hold of his sword, and then his wings, healed and strong, took over, carrying him into the fresh, light-washed sky, looking straight up and seeing no darkness, no oppression, no clouds. What he did see was light. Light from the heavenly host as they swept the sky clean from one end to the other. He sailed over the little town and back to the college just in time to see the flashing lights of squad cars, aid cars, official cars parked everywhere. "Captain Tal!" came a shout, and Tal dropped to the roof of the college library where Gilo awaited him with a bear hug. "The battle is over!"
"Is it?"
Yes, in the distance he could see the last fleeing fragments of the cloud, scattering in all directions, swept away by the heavenly forces. Below them he could see the faithful remnant still singing and cheering. Norm Madeley, Justin Parker, and Al Limley huddled around Bernice and Susan Jacobson. They would have a lot to talk about. Two medics were carrying the sheet-shrouded body of Julian Langstrat out of the building. And behind them came Alf Brummel, handcuffed and escorted by two of his own officers. Behind Brummel came the number one man himself, Alexander Kasif, in the custody of the federal agents. Hank and Mary were embracing and crying because it was all over, for now. Marshall held Sandy as if he had never held her before. They were catching up on some badly missed love. Then Kate arrived, full of concern, having heard that Marshall was in jail. Now the three of them embraced, all shedding tears of joy. There would be much catching up to do. It was time to sound the victory. Tal handed the golden trumpet to Gilo, who corkscrewed into the sky, blowing a long, beautiful signal. The general stood next to Tal as they assessed the situation.
"I would say we've left this town in quite a mess."
Tal nodded. "The investigation is going to have the college on hold for a while, and then there's all that money to be tracked down. In the meantime, Creone and Trisco will stay with Bush. Nathan and Armolt will remain with Hogan. Hogan's family will have a good church where they can heal," and Tal suddenly noticed one downcast figure standing alone across the campus. "Hold on." He got the attention of one particular angel.
"There she is. Don't let her get away."
Bernice felt so alone now, having finally said goodbye to Pat and knowing she didn't really belong to that group of happy people now rejoicing. She felt like talking to God, but having never prayed before, she didn't know what to say. "Dear God," she finally uttered, "I don't know what to do." "You know," said a gentle voice, "it wouldn't hurt to talk to those Christians back there. You've been calling out to God. Maybe that preacher can introduce the two of you once and for all. There's something back there you need, girl. And if I were you, I'd find out about it." The general was eager to be gone. "We're needed in Brazil. The revival's going well, but the enemy is concocting a plan against it. You should like that kind of challenge." Tal rose to his feet and drew his sword. Just then, Gilo returned with the trumpet. Tal told him, "Brazil." Gilo laughed and drew his sword also. "Wait," said Tal, looking below. It was Bernice timidly making her way toward the young pastor and his flock. By the quiet surrender in her eyes, Tal could see she was ready. Soon the angels would be rejoicing. He waved his approval to the little curly-haired angel standing with Bernice. And she smiled and waved back, her big brown eyes sparkling. The general asked, "Shall we be going?" Tal looked at Hank Bush. Just a minute. I want to hear it one more time." As they watched, Bernice spoke some quiet but impassioned words to Hank and Mary. They listened, as did the others nearby, and then they put their arms around her and told her about Jesus. Finally, as the saints were gathered and Bernice was surrounded with loving arms, Hank said the words, "Let's pray." And Tal smiled a long smile. "Let's be off." With a burst of brilliant wings and three trails of sparkling fire, the warriors shot into the sky, heading south,
becoming smaller and smaller until finally they were gone, leaving the now peaceful town of Ashton in very capable hands.
An Abridgment of This Present Darkness, copyright 1986 by Frankie Peretti, published by Crossway Books. This audio version copyright 1990 by Crossway Audio. All rights reserved. Unauthorized reproduction prohibited by law.